two different things. Dreams are not visions, and visions are not dreams, all right? But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, and we're going to look at the categories of dreams, and this list, we won't be able to cover all of it here in the next half hour, but in the weeks to come, we'll be able to cover it. But I don't want to give it to you so fast and so quick that it's too much for you to digest. All right. So now you know my game plan. Now you know where I drew some of my sources. But always first from the Word of God. Acts chapter 2. I should maybe turn there myself. Peter on the day of Pentecost stands up and begins to proclaim what had happened to them on that particular day when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they begin to speak with tongues, different kinds of tongues, and all the people gathered from that known world could hear the gospel preached in their own language, all right? So let's jump into verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day," that is 9 a.m., "but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see," what? "Visions, and your old men shall dream," what?
Dreams.
"And on my men servants and on my maid servants, and I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Now, please understand here, before this was spoken, the Holy Spirit only came on four different types of people in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit did not come on the common worshiper. It was the king, the priest, the prophet, and the judge. Remember, the Holy Spirit came upon Samson. He was a judge. The Holy Spirit came upon Deborah. She would prophesy on the judge. So four different types of people, and only them, period. Under the new covenant, the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out on how much flesh? All men, women, old men, young men, old ladies, young ladies, and different things manifest because of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And one of them, the initial sign that Peter talks about, is they shall see visions and they shall dream dreams. All right, it is important that we know that this is New Testament as any other New Testament reality. Dreams and visions is not just relegated to the Old Covenant. It is New Testament reality. And, you know, I want to cite a verse of Scripture. Ms. Nola, if you would help me find it out of your particular translation. Ephesians 3:10 out of the New Living Translation. I love the wording in that because it describes God's wisdom as not one-sided. It describes God's wisdom as variegated. In other words, multicolored. If God's wisdom was a color palette, it would have all the colors. It would not be black and white. Now, that is important to know, church family, because often we say, or we've heard people say, that God only speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Word, and that is His primary form or source of speaking, but that is not the only way that God speaks. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Right, we have been on a Wednesday night study. It was Sunday evening study. The different ways that God's wisdom comes to us. Would you read that Ephesians 3:10, please, Ms. Noah?
God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places.
Thank you. God's wisdom comes to us. God's wisdom comes to people in a rich variety of ways. The Lord does not just speak through His Word. He speaks through His Word first and foremost, but we see here in Acts chapter 2 that He also speaks through dreams and visions. You know, as I describe some of these, you're going to find yourself saying, you know, I think I have had dreams and visions. I just didn't recognize them as such when I had them. You know, I've got to believe that the Lord just doesn't give the pastors, you know, dreams and visions. This is on all flesh, right? But once again, are all dreams from the Lord? No. Okay, so if you're jotting down notes, and for the sake of our video, there are three sources that dreams come from. Three sources that dreams in particular come from. Number one, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, please, verse 4.
But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price.
Thank you. Notice what he describes, how Peter describes the human spirit as the hidden person of the heart. In other words, if they were to cut us open physically, the doctor's not going to identify you. Oh, there's a little spirit floating around in your body. Oh, that must be the real you. It's unseen. So Peter described it as the hidden person of the heart. But just because it's not seen with the eye, how many of us know it's still in there? Right? And so source number one, dreams come from us, from ourselves, from our subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind. Okay? If from the hidden person of the heart. Very, very important. Most of them, the majority of our dreams will come from our subconscious mind. Important to note. Okay? And when we start categorizing them, I'll start describing a few of them that I've had. They're crazy. All right. I'm sure I'm not the only duck in this pond, but we'll see. Number two, they come from God. Go with me to Job chapter 33, please. This is one verse I do want you all to find because it is vitally, vitally, vitally important to our understanding of dreams and visions. Sorry, verses, chapter 33, verses 14 through 18. My bad. Notice, God speaks one way and God speaks another. What's he saying there? That God's going to get you one way or the other, right? If you're not listening to him while you're awake, he's going to hit you up when you're asleep. Because then he's got a captive audience. Now, if you're writing notes, you want to write this down. This is one of the greatest findings of human psychology and dreams, is that the mind never sleeps. The mind never sleeps. Okay? Your body sleeps. The mind never sleeps. All right? So notice what the Lord will do. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night. Those two are synonymous, incidentally. A dream and a vision of the night are synonymous. Now, a day vision is not synonymous with a dream. But a night vision is, all right? And he says, when deep sleep falls upon men. Keep those two words in mind, deep sleep. We'll come back to those. While slumbering on their beds, when he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order. Why does the Lord give dreams at night? Here's one purpose. In order to turn a people from his deed or their deeds and conceal pride from that person. He keeps back their souls from the pit and their life from perishing by the sword. So he warns. Okay? The Lord warns in dreams. Weren't Joseph and Mary warned in a dream to get out of Dodge and flee where? To Egypt until Herod died. And when King Herod died, they were to come back. Right? They were warned in a dream. Was Pontius Pilate's wife warned in a dream? What was that warning? Have nothing to do with this man, Jesus Christ. Right? Don't mess with him. There's nothing wrong with him. And he went against, I mean, he washed his hands of Christ, but how many of y'all know that he's still guilty by association? All right? Now, okay, so there are warnings in the dream. So the second source is God. Why does God choose to speak to us in dreams? Well, we touched on one point, because maybe that's when we would actually listen to Him. All right? When we actually listen to Him. But we have to understand that not all the dreams are of God, and to try to seek godly meaning from all our dreams is going to be futile. It's going to be a waste of our time. I'm going to give you categories here shortly of all of the dreams that there are, and the ones that you should pay attention to, and the ones that you could probably not pay that much attention to. Do you feel that that'd be worth your time throughout this series? Because how many of y'all know we dream all kinds of dreams? And just because we dream all kinds of dreams, they're not all from God. And sometimes trying to find interpretations for those crazy pizza dreams is a waste of time. All right, I'm repeating myself. The third source is Satan. Satan has access to our minds. Who would like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4?
Whose mind the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Okay, so the God of this world, who is the God little g of this world?
Satan.
He's done what to the minds of unbelievers? Blinded them. Why did he blind their minds? So that they would not see the light of the gospel, right? And they would, because when people see the light of the gospel, they will repent. So he blinds their minds. How many of us know that when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, Satan did not give up blinding our minds? Right? Why do we say that? Because Satan had a close affinity to our minds before we were saved. He has access to our minds. And if he meddled with our minds before, friends, he's going to try to meddle with our minds again. And if it's not during the day, through anxious thoughts, through prideful thoughts, through lustful thoughts, it'll be at night through crazy, wild, scary, awful dreams. But there's hope. There is hope. Okay, so the three sources are subconscious mind, more common in area one. Number two, it is God. And number three, it is the enemy. Okay? Okay, so let's talk about category. Here you go. There are nine categories of dreams. We're only going to talk about three tonight. Very important that we understand. I'm going to include one of those dreams tonight that you need to put an asterisk around. You need to highlight, because one of the three that I describe is the one that God will speak through. Number one is what we call what psychology calls the residual dreams, also known as ordinary dreams. Everybody has residual dreams. Okay, what is it about? It's all about information. It is your subconscious mind sorting or processing information. Remember I said that just because you fall asleep, the mind never falls asleep. Mind never falls asleep. All right, so what we want to understand about this type of dream is that it is ordinary, and psychology calls it replay. It will, remember we talked about symbols in dreams? Maybe we'll touch on that in the weeks to come. Symbols are hugely important in dreams. The Lord can give us symbolic dreams that we need to, that will require interpretation. And let me say here, I have found experientially that we have a dream interpreter in our church, and that is Scott Primer. I the dreams that I've run by him that he interpreted were spot on. So if you have ever questions about him, I'm sure he's going to love me for this. Text him about, and I'm telling you, he has a gift of interpreting dreams. Don't you think, Miss Nola? He has a gift of interpreting dreams. He might not realize that he does, but he does. And so not all dreams need interpretation. So this residual dream is sorting or processing information. Okay? It's psychology calls it replay. And it'll give symbols of past experiences, past memories or past events, or recent experiences. But what is the brain doing? It is merely processing. This is a dream that you don't want to try to interpret, because you'll have crazy and wild dreams that make no sense and have no meaning. And you will drive yourself crazy trying to find meaning out of these kinds of dreams. The residual dreams, or we can call them the ordinary dreams. What do you do with those? Just let the mind sort stuff out. No interpretation needed. In fact, those dreams will be wild and crazy. The other night, a couple nights ago, I had a dream that I was on a plane heading to a foreign country. And what struck me in the dream was how smooth the flight was. I was so caught up in conversation, I was not, it seemed like we weren't even in a plane. It seemed like we were driving smoothly down a road. And then before I knew it, I lost track of time, and we were already in Australia. But then we went past Australia to some Aborigines people that spoke a foreign language. When we got there, guess who greeted me? It was Marshall Mathers, Eminem. He was there. He was there. And you know, I don't know, this is me. This is one of the, we'll talk about recurring dreams. That's one you want to pay attention to, the recurring dreams. But for me, anytime I have dreams with celebrities in them, I'm always trying to take a photo with them. But I can't. I once, in one dream, I took I didn't have my phone with me, so I was with Justin Timberlake, and we took a photo together, and I said, Justin, please text it to my number. I gave him my number, never texted it. Or, you know, I was with Troy Aikman once, the quarterback, former quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and he didn't want to take a photo with me. I mean, all of these celebrities that I end up empty-handed. And Scott gave me a good interpretation for that one, too. But they're just crazy. And so Marshall Mathers was introducing me to these foreign people, because I'm assuming he had a concert there somewhere. And these people, I was trying to reach for the gospel, and he was telling me what words to say and communicate. Well, I can't remember the words I said, but they were foreign. I didn't know, I did not understand the language. And then next thing I knew, I was naked in my dream. Sorry, kids, cover your eyes, your ears, whatever you need to. And you know, that's a sign of insecurity. That's a sign of insecurity. I'll touch on this more when we come to the recurring dreams. But they're wild and they're crazy. And so once I discovered that I was without clothes, I was scampering around trying to find something to wrap myself with, but it didn't seem to bother anybody else. They just carried on like I had a robe on or something. You know, it's just crazy. So I'm not going to concern myself with that particular dream. That, to me, in my mind, that falls under a residual dream category. Amen? All righty. So far, so good. That's category one. Remember, we have eight more to go. Category two, we could call these daydreams. Daydreams. We all daydream. Everybody daydreams. Daydreams. That's that kind of subconscious state between sleep and wakefulness. We call it being in a daze. Who's ever so caught up in thought about something that you're not aware of everything going on around you? You're daydreaming. You're caught up. Now, listen, God can use daydreams. God can use your imagination to speak to you through those daydreams. If we, listen carefully, this is very important, if we meditate on the Word of God. What is meditating on God's Word? It is chewing God's Word mentally. Who's ever had a good tasting steak? Did you cut it and just swallow it, or did you want to chew it as long as you possibly could? And so God can use our imaginations. He can hyper or make them active imagination when we're meditating on the Word. And the Holy Spirit begins to use our imagination to paint pictures of what some of these stories were in the Bible. And they come alive to us. Okay, God can use those. Now, understand also that Satan can use the daydreaming as well. and our minds begin to wander off, remember what Jesus said, I'll speak on one subject alone. It's not the only thing that Satan uses. And it's Satan can use this with women as much as men nowadays. Ladies, you've come a long way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. And I tell you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her in his heart has committed what already in his heart? Adultery. That word lust doesn't mean like a fleeting thought. Let's understand something about daydreaming. About, ladies, I want to break it down for you. I love my Cynthia. She's funny. She's like, she nods her head sometimes because I have a lot of book knowledge. And sometimes she feels like I don't have the street knowledge to go with it. She's like, babe. That's the way she talks. Babe. When men have the double take, that is physiological. That is not conscious. Did you know that? When men do a double take, that is not a conscious thought. That is physiological. Now, the triple take, that's a choice. Okay? And but when Jesus says uses the word lust, if a man, and I say man, but nowadays a woman can lust after a man too. If a man lusts, that word is used in the active indicative. In other words, lust and keeps on lusting. Why is it considered adultery? Because in his heart, he's already imagining it. He's already playing it out. His brain is actually acting in a way that he's already doing, as if he was already doing it. So that's why Jesus considered that adultery, just mere lust, okay? Satan, why do I say all that? Satan can use this type of daydreaming to, even as the Lord can use it when we meditate in his word, Satan can use it to lead us down the wrong path. Okay? Alrighty, are we ready for the big one? And we're going to stop with this one. Man, this is a good one. Category 3. What's category 1? Residual. What's another word for it? Very good. Category 2. Daydreaming. Alright, then the third one. This is one you want to take note of. This is one where God uses to speak. We call that, psychology calls it the vivid or the epic dream. The vivid or the epic dream. Vivid or epic. And it happens during REM sleep. Can somebody break that down for me? What is REM? Rapid eye movement. Thank you. That's when your eyes move fast back and forth under the eyelids. And listen carefully, your larger muscles of your body are unusually relaxed. Psychology tells us that the average person hits REM, rapid eye movement, about 3 to 4 times a night, and that is every 90 minutes. And the longer the night progresses, the longer those REM periods last. And they can last up to 45 minutes at the very end, towards the morning, when you're about to wake up, right before. Who's ever had a dream right before you woke up that it was so real? And you probably thought, maybe this was from God. You know why? That's called a vivid or an epic dream. Okay? God uses vivid and epic dreams to speak to us. This is the first category where the Lord can use category 2, daydreaming, but this is when the Lord will speak to us through this category of dreams, this type of dream, the vivid or the epic. Okay? It is supernatural. God will use our REM moments. How many do we have a night? Wow. The Lord is trying to get our attention. How many REM episodes do we have a night? 3 to 4. 3 to 4. And the last one lasts up to 45 minutes. That's long. And they happen how often? Every 90 minutes. Good job. And so what the Lord will do, he'll speak to us. If he's going to speak to us, listen, we're in deep sleep. This is what psychologists call deep sleep. Doesn't that jog your memory to that scripture we read in Job 33 that God will put people under deep sleep? and then he'll speak to them in a dream. Go with me back to Job 33. Let's see that verse again. Psychologists say that REM sleep is the deepest sleep. Job chapter 33. Who would like to read verse 15? There you go. When deep sleep falls on man, when they slumber in their bed. So that is REM sleep. Isn't that amazing? The book of Job, listen carefully, was the first book of the Bible written. It was not the book of Genesis. The oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job. And the ancient wisdom here, it connects, it accords with, or it falls in line with, modern psychology, which says deep sleep produces dreams. Epic, vivid. And that's when God speaks. I remember many, many years ago, this is probably the year 2000, so it'd be, what, 20 years ago? And I was sleeping, and I remember it was right before waking up, because it woke me up, this dream. I don't know how to describe this. I was at the bottom of this mountain, and in the dream, it seemed like it was Mount Sinai. And I was at the bottom, but I saw all these rolling clouds of God's glory and presence coming down. They just came down, and they washed over me. And I'm telling you, I was in tears. And I woke up from that dream saying, "Praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus." And I was crying because I was overwhelmed with the presence of God. How many of y'all believe that was a God dream? I had tears in my eyes, and I woke myself up saying, "Praise you, Jesus." I had my arms in the air, "Praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. I love you, Lord," wiping my tears, because it was a profound dream. I believe that was one of those epic or vivid dreams that the Lord spoke through. Okay, so far so good.
Yeah.
Chapter 1 done. See you in 2 weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for these categories of dreams that will help us understand and break them down, Lord, so that we can have better understanding and understand which ones are truly used by you and which ones are not, and which ones are used by the enemy as well, Father. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.